Thank you, ladies. That was a blessing. Look at Mark chapter 5. I'm going to focus on verse 15, but I'm going to get the context because it's important. Let's go ahead and start at verse 1. Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind.
Praise you, Lord.
And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Well, now that is quite a story. And I can't say that I can explain everything in that story. There's a lot about demon possession that I do not understand. And I don't feel like I have any insight on it that you don't have just by reading the scriptures. I can say that I believe it. And I don't know why these devils wanted to go into the swine, and I don't know what advantage that would be for them. You could probably ask me a bunch of questions about this, and I would not be able to answer it. But I do recognize one important part in this passage, and that is that there was a man who for many years was out of his mind, and when they came and saw him, he was in his right mind, sitting and clothed with Jesus. Now that's a very important part of this story. Don't miss that part. If you go around trying to find the errors in the Bible, nitpicking the contradictions and whatever, you'll say, "Oh no, one time it says this, one time it says that." This same passage is found in Matthew, and Matthew says there were two of them. And I don't know how to explain that except that Matthew remembered two people there, and Mark and Luke only mention one. Apparently one was more significant than the other. Maybe the one stayed around longer and wanted to be with Jesus, and the other one disappeared, and that's why some people forgot about the other one. I don't know. But if you spend your time looking at all the nitpicking details, you might just miss the whole point. And the whole point is that this man was demon-possessed, and it had cost him his mind.
Yeah.
And he had hurt himself for many years, and he had caused all kinds of problems, and I imagine he was an embarrassment to his family and an embarrassment to his city, and I imagine he was an embarrassment to himself, and I don't think he had any inkling of what he could do about it, and nobody else knew what to do about it, and they tried to help him, they tried to tie him down, they tried to hold him in, they tried to control him, and they couldn't, and they just finally had given up on him. But when Jesus saw him, Jesus healed him, he cast out the devils, and then he was in his right mind.
Amen.
Now, the question I have for you this morning, and you can call this the title of my message, are you in your right mind?
Amen.
Because it looks to me like we have sort of a pandemic of being out of your mind. It's like losing your mind has become a virus that has just infected the whole world.
Amen.
People aren't thinking straight.
Yes.
Now we got a problem. And the problem is that if you are not in your right mind, you don't know it.
Amen. Try.
Yeah. How can you tell? You have no landmark. It's like flying blind. You have nothing to look at and gauge and say, well, I'm right. I'm thinking straight. You don't have any way to gauge it. Nobody can say, I know that I'm in my right mind, because if you aren't in your right mind, you wouldn't know it. It's a problem, isn't it? How are you gonna know that you are in your right mind? This fella, he probably thought he had rational reasons for cutting himself. He probably thought he had rational reasons for doing these things. But he didn't. He was out of his mind. It was because of a devil. Now we can see, you have judged and I can judge. We can look around and say, well, those people are not in their right mind. You make that judgment all the time. You say, these people aren't thinking straight. Yeah, them Democrats, they don't think straight. them Republicans, they don't think straight. They're missing out on stuff. You look around and you say, man, that guy's crazy. I look at modern art and I think these folks don't know what art is. I listen to rap music and I think these people have never heard real music. I have a hard time sympathizing with people who are not in their right mind. But they don't know it. They think rap music is cool. They think Picasso was a genius. I don't. And if you do, I'm sorry, but that's my opinion. I'm preaching, you're not. Right? I get to tell you my opinion. Here's the thing. I don't think they're in their right mind. And I can look at it, I can say they're not in their right mind, but, you know, I don't know that it's a demon possession. I mean, obviously, if a devil possesses you, and I don't understand all there is about that, but I believe it happened, and I believe it probably is still happening, and we just don't have the means to tell.
Yeah.
I don't want to find a devil under every rock. I don't want to become too Pentecostal and pretend that every single problem is a demon and start casting out in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus and start doing all kinds of rituals. That's not what I'm looking for. I don't believe in all the exorcisms, and I think you ought to be real careful when you get your information from movies.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
I think you ought to just restrict your information to the Bible about demon possession to find out what it says. And if you do that, you become wiser about it, and you'll find out there's a lot of fraud out there calling themselves Christians but pretending to do things that they have no power to do. It reminds me of those seven sons of Sceva over there in Acts. Later on in the book of Acts, toward the end, I don't know, chapter 19 or 20 or something like that, where these seven sons of Sceva, they saw that Paul had the power to cast out demons, and so they thought, well, we can do that. And so they go and they find this fellow that's demon possessed, and they said, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preacheth, and tried to cast him out. And he said, Well, Paul I know, and Jesus I know, but who are you? And I think if a lot of these exorcists, whether they're priests or Pentecostal holy rollers, if they ever ran up against a real demon, they might get surprised. They might get knocked down. They might get hurt. They might be wounded. Because demon possession is not something to trifle with. And you shouldn't pretend you have power over devils if you don't.
Right.
It's true the apostles had some power. God gave them power. I don't know that he's given you that power. So you might ought to not trifle with that sort of thing. And I don't think we ought to try to find a demon under every single sickness. The Bible clearly says some sicknesses were caused by devils. But it also clearly says some sicknesses were just sicknesses. And so both of those things are possible. Both of those things are true. We're getting our information from the Bible. Let's not go beyond that. That's as good as we can do. But I can tell you, you can look around and say, there's a lot of things that cause people to lose their mind right now in our experience, and we can pinpoint the cause. Like drink and drugs. Do you know people lose their mind with drink and drugs?
Yeah.
They mess their minds up. There are a lot of people that have done things while they were drinking that they would not have done had they not been drinking.
Right.
There are accidents on the highway that would not have happened if they hadn't been drinking.
Right. Yeah.
I think it was the majority of fatal accidents were caused by drinking and driving. I don't know that that's still the case, but it used to be advertised that way, that it was the majority of traffic fatalities were caused by drinking. And of course now it's not just drinking. We've got legal drugs. I mean, they say they have a real problem in these states that have legalized marijuana, and that is that they are driving high. It's a big problem. Almost as big a problem as texting while driving in Texas.
Amen.
Yeah. I got a couple of amens on that. It's dangerous. Do you know there are things that you can do that will make you lose your mind? Like drugs. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, pornography will make you lose your mind.
Amen.
You mess yourself up. You get yourself mixed up in this kind of stuff and you start thinking different. It affects your mind. It makes you think different. It makes you different in your personality. It'll change your kind of friends. I don't get it. I don't know, but I'm telling you, drinking, drugs, and other social vices like that change your mind. It's amazing how many things are changing your mind and you don't even realize it. There are physical reinforcements or conditioning that we put ourselves through that make us not in our right mind. Like, for example, how we treat food as our comfort. And what that does is it makes us think we're hungry when we're not hungry.
Right.
Well, that's a way of losing your mind. Your mind is messed up. Your mind is telling you you're hungry, but you're not hungry. In fact, you're bloated. But that's physical conditioning. This actually happens. There's mental conditioning. Some people just cannot live without music. You ever go to the lake, or you want to go out and be with nature, you go to the lake and you're out there on the lake and somebody's got a boombox. That's not nature, by the way, in case you're wondering. And if you are hooked on music, you can't be happy unless you're listening to some kind of music. Well, I think you've lost your mind.
Amen.
Or at least you're not in your right mind. Forgive me if I don't say it exactly right. You're not in your right mind if you require music to be happy. You've conditioned yourself.
Amen.
You are affecting your mind many, many ways. There's also a deceit that can affect your mind. All kinds of deceit. The Bible says, beware of these vain deceits and philosophies that affect your mind. They change you. The Bible says that the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. There's all kinds of ideas and philosophies that change people's minds and make them crazy, make them insane, make them do something that they would not have done if they had not been deceived like that. Like Islamic notions of paradise. And they think it's worth killing people to gain that paradise. But it's a false philosophy.
Right.
It's a false idea. You are not doing God's service by killing Christians or infidels. You're not doing God's service that way. If you think that's the case, you've lost your mind. Amen. Philosophy has messed you up. Or religion. You want to call it religion? But you know there's atheistic philosophies that affect people's minds too. There are people who are so against the idea of creation that they are willing to embrace and endorse the most absurd notions. Like, give it enough time and it'll just happen. Now that's stupid. That is an absurd notion. Give it enough time and it will happen? No, that's not true. It's never been true and it can't be true. Time does not create anything. Give chemicals enough time banging against each other and it'll turn into a human? No. No. You know why people are out of their minds in that sense? Because of a philosophy. It's a philosophy that things just happen. There's no creator. They have deceived themselves and they're making all kinds of very foolish assumptions based on that false philosophy. And that's not, well, it is a religion. If they don't want to call it a religion, they would say they're secular. Well, whatever. It's a philosophy that they've believed and now they've made themselves out of their own mind. They cannot think straight because of that nonsense. And they avoid looking for the creator because their philosophy tells them they don't need to. There is no such thing. And so they die hopeless.
Right.
Without God and without Christ in this world and without hope. They die with nothing. They die in a most destitute and desperate situation. It's all gone. And they can try to make up stuff like the circle of life and junk like that to make life seem like it's worthwhile. But you get rid of God, your creator, you've gotten rid of the very purpose for living.
Amen.
You've affected your mind. And you'll make bad decisions based on a bad, faulty logic. Based on these philosophies, yeah. Emotions make you lose your mind. Like two people in love. They've lost their minds. I have counseled many young people. If you're in love, get out of love. Stop it. Because that's not a good way to make a decision. You need to be completely unemotional about your decision that you're making, about this man you want to marry. Make a completely unemotional decision. Is this man worth marrying? Is this man the man you want to live the rest of your life with and have children with and create a family with and serve God with? Is that the one? Because if it's just on your emotion, you are out of your mind. You're not thinking straight. Emotions will mess you up. I'll tell you something else. Fear. Fear will mess you up. Some people are deathly afraid of irrational things. It's just irrational. You're not thinking straight. And I know you can be afraid of closed-in spaces. These are called phobias, and I realize that. But let's mark it down, folks. There's some irrationality there. It's not, you're not thinking straight. You can't use the elevator because you're afraid of closed-in spaces. Get over it.
Yeah.
Seriously, you need to stop and think. You should be able to look at it and say, that's not my right mind. Now, I don't have that fear of closed spaces, unless somebody's closing a coffin on me, you know. maybe that would bother me a little bit. But, so I might not be as sympathetic toward you as I should be. And I'm sorry. But it seems to me like your mind ought to be able to overcome these irrational fears. You guys remember Y2K?
Yeah.
I'll bet you some of you still have some crackers left over from that. Now it was presented to us as a legitimate fear, something that could possibly happen, and you might have to go a couple of weeks without your medicines or without, you know, electricity. And so we were warned by the Red Cross, by our governments, we were warned to keep stuff together. But some people stockpiled huge amounts of things. Why? Irrational fear. It was mostly an irrational fear. And now you know what they're afraid of? plastic straws.
That's true.
Listen, folks, this is absurd. Don't be afraid of plastic straws. Plastic straws are not destroying our environment. That's not what's killing our environment. And I realize maybe the globe is getting warmer, but let's not overreact, folks. Let's not burn our house down because of global warming. Let's think rationally about some things. All kinds of things affect your mind. All kinds of things besides demon possession. But I wonder if there isn't some connection between all the loss of mind in our modern society and influence of devils. I really do think devils have more of an influence on our government and on our leaders and on the thought leaders and on the people who have influence. I think the devils have more influence than they recognize. I think the devil is doing his bit in this world to hurt us, and he causes us to lose our mind. And you know what the Bible says? There's going to come a day when God is going to send them strong delusion.
That's right.
Delusion is where you are not making rational choices based on evidence. That no matter what the evidence, you still believe this irrational thing. That's a delusion. And God says he's going to send people who do not love the truth. He's going to send them strong delusion. So be careful.
Yeah. Amen.
You might be out of your mind.
Amen.
So the question is, are you in your right mind? Because if you're not in your right mind, well, this is a problem, folks. If you're not in your right mind, you don't know it. Who's going to tell you? And the person that's telling you, how do you know he is in his right mind? Somebody's talking to you, but he might not be in his right mind. It's really hard to tell. So I figured I'll give you some clues. Clues right here in this text.
Amen.
Between this text and what was said in Matthew and what is said in Luke, I'm going to give you some clues that you can help to judge whether or not you are in your right mind or not. Number one, Matthew says these were exceeding fierce and nobody could go that way because they were dangerous. So, are you dangerous? Do you beat your wife? Yeah, you're not in your right mind. You have a little too much to drink and you get angry and you want to fight and you want to beat somebody up? Or maybe it's just for no reason at all. Maybe you just daydream about shooting people. Hey, if you have that problem, you're not in your right mind. You should not be harming anybody. You should not be daydreaming about harming anybody. You should not get your daydreaming kicks off of shooting people. I really think you ought to watch out for video games that teach you how to shoot people. I mean, why do you want a video game to teach you how to shoot cops? Why would you want that? Seems to me like you're out of your mind. If you've got a problem thinking violent thoughts, you're not in your right mind. Because there's no point in it. There's no rationality in it. Do you have imaginations of killing somebody that you don't even know? Or what if you think, you know, you're out of recourses and so you're going to blow up some government building? You're out of your mind. You need the government. You even need an imperfect government. Yes. You need a government that's wrong. Yes. You need a government that's unfair. You need a government. You need it. You should not be thinking insurrectionist thoughts. If you are, you're not in your right mind. Now that was just an easy one. Because if you're dangerous, then you're not in your right mind. You ought to be harmless. You should not be able to hurt anybody. Or you should not be wanting to hurt anybody. You should not be looking for vengeance and grudges and angry. Are you angry? The Bible says watch out for an angry person. Make no fellowship with him. Make no friendship with him. Stay away from him. He'll cause you problems.
Amen.
All right. If you're fierce and dangerous, you're not in your right mind. All right. How about another one? It says over there in Mark, here in chapter 5, verse 4, says no man could tame him. He was out of control. He didn't like rules. He didn't like restraints. He didn't like repressing his inhibitions. Hey, if you have a problem with being controlled, then you're not in your right mind. You say, no, I like my freedom. Oh, everybody likes their freedom. But seriously, you don't want any rules? You don't want to be controlled? You don't want to have to follow the norms of society? Boy, this is silly. This is one thing I have against most modern forms of art. Whether it's music or whether it's painting or whether it's architecture, these people are blossoming idiots. They have no sense of aesthetics or beauty. They have no sense of it. They've lost it because they feel like they've got to break the norm. They got to step out over the edge. You don't want to be over the edge. You want to be in a nice, good spot, and your society is not horrible. You've learned a lot from your society. A lot of things are good in your society. Why do you want to break away from it? Why do you want to do something taboo? Why would you do something that would completely mess yourself up in order to be a little different? Why do you got to wear weird clothes? Why do you got to have a weird haircut? Why do you got to want to be different? Why? I'd say it's because you're out of your mind. You're not in your right mind. You're not thinking straight. If you feel like you don't want to be controlled, you don't want to have these limits, you want to be free, you want to express yourself, you're the one that's not in your right mind. I'm warning you. I'm telling you the truth. This fella had a problem with rules and norms. He didn't want the controls. He didn't want to be tamed because he wasn't in his right mind. He didn't want to do things that everybody else was doing. Even though everybody does what everybody else is doing. Oh, get off your high horse. You're not a leader. You're just a follower, just like everybody else. You haven't had one original thought in your entire life. You're thinking somebody else's thoughts after them. It's true. There's nothing new under the sun. All right. How about the third one? In chapter 5, verse 5, it says he was cutting himself. Self-harm is a classic sign of insanity. You are not in your right mind if you are harming yourself. Whether that means cutting yourself, and there are kids that get this, and adults, grown-ups, but I've had to deal with kids that have this problem. They just feel like cutting themselves when they're by themselves. They'll cut themselves, and you think, why are you doing that? Well, I'll tell you why. You're not in your right mind. You're not thinking straight. Nobody's thinking straight cuts themselves. Nobody thinking straight harms themselves. Nobody thinking straight mutilates themselves, including to change genders. You're not thinking straight. If you are a boy and you want to be a girl, you're not in your right mind. Just mark it down. You're not in your right mind. You're not thinking straight. Somebody else needs to help you think better. And it's a shame when those other people that are there to help you are not in their right mind because of some stupid philosophy. And they've got some really stupid philosophies that have messed the minds up of our best leaders. They've lost their minds. And they're harming people. They're harming children because they encourage them to mutilate themselves. That's evil. That's wrong. Can you not see it? You're not in your right mind if you're harming yourself. Amen. There's many, many aspects of that, self-harm. I think of kids who pierce themselves where it actually hinders the function. I've seen kids with studs right through their cheek. Well, now, why would you put a hole in something you want to be watertight? You don't stick holes in your milk jug, do you? No, of course not. Well, why would you stick a hole in your cheek? Do you not realize that that's not sane? That's not logical. You want to be different? What? You want to be unique? You want to show off to your friends how weird you are? You're not in your right mind. Bless your heart. And I'm not absolutely certain that the devil doesn't have anything to do with that. I think the devil's messing with people's minds. I think the devil enjoys messing with your mind. I think he enjoys making you an idiot. Making a fool of yourself. It's amazing how people do. I remember when Brian Tebow was preaching in Colorado. We were preaching in this big old park. And there was a bunch of sort of homeless teenagers in this park. Bunch of hippies. Really hippies. Had the weirdest haircuts ever. Old Brian was there in his cowboy boots and just a normal, you know, cowboy outfit. And he's up there preaching away. Standing there preaching away. Got the King James Bible, preaching the King James Bible there. And some kid goes up to him, stands in front of him. His kid had his hair spiked, probably a foot tall. And it had checkerboard on the side of his hair and some of it hanging down. And he was dressed in some of the weirdest stuff. Big old chain hanging down with floppy pants that were hanging down past his waist. And he gets there and he had a muscle shirt on that was too loose for him. Didn't even know that you're supposed to have tight muscle shirts so you can show off your muscles. But he didn't have any muscles anyway. So he had this thing that was loose on him and he was stinky. And he got there in front of Brian, who was trying to preach, and he started doing jumping jacks in front of him saying, "You're making a fool of yourself." "You're making a fool of yourself, Brian. You're preaching the Bible and this nincompoop stands up there and screams at him, 'You're making a fool of yourself.'" But he couldn't tell. He did not know that he was not in his right mind. He couldn't tell. But if you're hurting yourself, if you're killing your baby, you're not in your right mind. If you think your career is more important than your baby, you're not in your right mind. You're not thinking straight. Well, we could go on a lot about that. There's a whole lot of it. Fornication is harming yourself. You don't realize that the Bible says it's one of the worst sins because you're sinning against your own body. You don't realize that when you fornicate, you're having sex with whoever that person had sex with till the beginning of time, because you're interchanging pathogens all the time. What fool would do that to themselves? But there's people doing it all the time. Just for this temporary pleasure of fornication, they're willing to subject their bodies to that kind of pathogenic disease. Happens all the time. And then if they get pregnant, they have to kill their baby. They're harming themselves. Folks, don't you realize you're not in your right mind if you're harming yourself? And why do people tattoo themselves? Okay, you got tattoos and you're not ashamed of it. Well, bully for you, but you're not in your right mind. Why do you think God told you not to print marks on yourself? Why did he do that? Because it's an obvious sign that you're not thinking straight. What do you have? Security issues? Self-confidence issues? You're insecure? You're not sure about yourself, so you feel like you got to tattoo yourself? Well, why would you do that? Why do you smoke? Because it looks cool? It doesn't taste good. If you're harming yourself, you're not in your right mind. Amen. All right. There's a lot more that could be said about that. How about this one? Luke 8:27 says, "He wear no clothes." He was comfortable being naked. How comfortable are you being naked? Well, I've seen some of the dresses some of you ladies wear. I heard one that's right. Come on, say amen. Amen. I've seen some of the dresses you ladies wear. There's a little bit of nakedness in public there. But you're comfortable, right? Because it's fashion. Why don't you cover yourself up? You say, "Well, you know, I think you're just being too prudish." Yeah, I think you're out of your mind. I think you're too comfortable with nakedness. You ever been to the beach? Whoo, you talk about being comfortable with nakedness. And not just the ladies either. It's the men. I can't believe what some of these men wear. What is your problem? What are you not understanding here? You're way too comfortable with being naked. Why is it that when you're out of your mind, you want to get naked? I don't get that. Why is that fashion has to show skin? Why? I'll tell you why. They're not in their right mind. They're not thinking straight. God didn't give you fur. He gave you the ability to weave clothes. If he'd wanted you to walk around naked, he'd have given you fur. All right. I'm amazed at how people dress. You think it's at the beach? Yeah, go to Walmart. Hey, you think that's bad? Come to court. I've had to interpret for ladies that were wearing almost nothing. And then they didn't want to shower, so they just covered themselves with perfume, and I'm choking trying to interpret for them. It's ridiculous how people dress so incredibly casual. What is wrong? Don't you understand that that's a little bit of insanity that you don't realize? You need to get up. You need to comb your hair. You need to make sure you shower. You need to put on some real clothes and walk out into public so that you're not a public embarrassment. That's not hard. This is not difficult.
Amen.
This is just common sense 101. Common sense. Comb your hair, get yourself dressed, and don't be an embarrassment to yourself. And if you don't know how to do that, you're just not in your right mind. He wore no clothes. Let me give you another one. It says in Luke 8 from 27 to 29, he lived in the wilderness and he wouldn't stay in a house. He was comfortable living in the wilderness in his own filth. Now, why are people comfortable in filth? Why are people just satisfied with sleeping on the dirt or filling their minds with dirt? Have you heard the kind of language people use? It's amazing to me because I meet new people all the time, and these are educated people, lawyers or probation officers, and they want to have a conversation with me, and they start cussing. And I'm thinking, what are we, pubescent boys, just now discovering bodily secretions that you have to talk to me like this? We're not in puberty. We're grown-ups. And I'm 66 years old. I don't need to hear all about what... I don't need to hear about what comes out of your body. I don't need to hear all your junk. I don't want to hear all your filthy language. I don't want to know about it. I don't want to think about it. It's not interesting to me. In fact, it's boring. Why do people talk like that? Why are people so comfortable with filth? Because they're not in their right mind. Why do they want to talk about stuff like that? Why do they have to interject it in every single sentence? Why? I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why would this fella be so satisfied living in the wilderness, sleeping on a dirt floor, never want to be in a house? Why? Well, because he wasn't in his right mind. Maybe you're not in your right mind. Maybe you're not thinking straight. Yeah, I think that's, and I don't know that it's not devilish. I think the devil has a way of messing with your mind.
Amen.
Makes you gravitate toward filthy jokes. Why? Why would somebody come up to me, don't even know me, and then tell me a filthy joke? And then I have to say, you realize I'm a pastor? And I don't appreciate those kind of jokes. And then they've got to be all embarrassed. But why weren't they embarrassed before? Why wouldn't you be embarrassed when you didn't think I was a pastor? When you didn't think it mattered to me? Why were you trying to show off how filthy you could be? Why? I don't get it. You're not in your right mind. All right, how about another one? In Mark 5:3, it says, he dwelt among the tombs. It's like he's ignoring the significance of his own mortality. He's okay in the cemetery. He's okay in the graveyard. It doesn't bother him. You know something? I don't think you should ignore the significance of your own mortality. But people are doing it all the time. People deflect on it all the time. They don't want to think about their own death. And you know, when you don't think about your own death and you're not willing to face it and you're not willing to make life-changing decisions based on the fact that you're going to die, you're not in your right mind. You are not thinking straight. I did that for about 16 years. I lived without facing my own mortality. And then my grandpa died. First person in my family that had died that I was close to, that I knew. And he didn't come home from the hospital. And it woke me up. Before that, I was not in my right mind. After that, I got into my right mind. I could see where my life was going. I knew how it was going to end. I knew what that meant about all the ambitions that I had in this life. I knew how it made them trivial. I knew how it affected everything I was deciding in life. I knew that it was all going to be a waste. It was all going to be a loss. It was all going to end in tragedy. I understood that, and that was the first moment of me getting into my right mind to understand what life's about. But do you realize there are people that reach the age of 70, 80, 90 and still have not considered their own mortality? Right. And they are still living as if they will not die. What is it with them? What's the problem? They're not in their right mind. They don't want to talk about it. If you say, have you considered where you're going to go when you die? And they say, oh, no, I don't want to talk about that. Well, why not? Do you think you're not going to die? You can just live in the tombs and you're walking through all the dead bodies and there's graveyard everywhere. There's a headstone there and a headstone there and your grandfather there and your daddy there and your child there and your brother there and they're all dead and you just keep on walking along like nothing's going to happen to you and you're not ready to die. You haven't made your peace with God. You haven't tried to get your sins right. You haven't tried to fix anything. You just keep putting it off, saying, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Maybe you soothe your conscience by saying, well, I'll be food for the next generation. That whole circle of life stuff. Oh, how foolish can you be? Do you realize that the fact that you're going to die makes a huge difference in how you see life and how you think about life? The fact that you're going to die should make a difference in how you make decisions in life. Oh boy, it should make a difference. Because you are not in your right mind if you're not prepared for the day of your death. Amen. Or at least finding a way to be prepared. Now, if you've been deceived by that deceiver and you think there is no solution here, we're just particles in a universe of random particles and we're just going to disappear into the universe and our mind never mattered. Our knowledge never mattered. Our personhood never mattered. Didn't even exist. If that's your stupid philosophy, you're not in your right mind and you're going to die not in your right mind. But if you can recognize that there's a creator that made you in his image and that he's got a purpose for you and that death is not the end, that there is a judgment coming after death. If you could see that, it would make a difference in how you live. And you could be sitting there with Jesus clothed and in your right mind.
Amen.
Amen. One more. Verse 7 in this chapter says, he said with a loud voice, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Have you noticed that some people react antagonistically to the gospel?
Yes.
Antagonistically to people who want to share the gospel. You invite them to church and Roland and I will be preaching downtown and once in a while somebody walk by and just stop their ears and scream and holler, da, 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 da. Why? I'll tell you. They're not in their right mind. They're not thinking straight. Because the gospel has never hurt anyone. You tell about Jesus, that never hurt anybody. Nobody gets hurt by being told about Jesus. Jesus didn't tell you to go out and kill people so that you don't have to worry about that. It's not like Jesus is out trying to harm people. And it's not like followers of Jesus are out going out there harming people. No, that's not what's happening. Why are people antagonistic to the gospel? Why are they antagonistic to the gospel? Why do they hate the name of Jesus? Why do they hate the idea that you want to share the gospel with them? Why do they slam the door in your face and say, I don't want to talk to you? Why do they do that? Because they're not in the right mind. They're not thinking straight. So what can you do? I tell you one thing you can do. Bible says that God sends strong delusion to those that don't love the truth. I could say you should seek the truth fanatically.
Amen.
In other words, you should stop. And I'm not saying you got to go tell the truth in every lack of discretion area of your life. Tell the woman, you know, that she's wearing an ugly dress or I don't know. You don't have to be like that. But how about just being fanatical about truth, not wanting to be manipulated, not wanting to be lied to?
Amen.
Why aren't you tired of news programs? You know they're liars.
Amen.
They are lying. They are not telling you the truth. They're not giving you the whole story. So are politicians. They're lying to you. Every one of them. Why aren't you fed up with that? And so are a whole bunch of pastors and a whole bunch of preachers and a whole bunch of priests. They're out there telling you stories. They're not telling you the truth.
Amen.
Why are you okay with that? Why is that okay with you? No, you ought to be fanatical, saying, no, I don't want any more manipulating. I don't want any more lies. I don't want any more deceit. I don't want any more of this half stories, narratives that you're trying to push on me. I'm looking for truth.
Amen.
I want to know the truth about things. Tell me the truth about death. Tell me the truth about creation. Tell me the truth about science. Tell me the truth. Because if you're not fanatical about truth, you're going to be deceived.
Right.
You also need to seek spiritually grounded fellowship. In other words, the only way you're going to get out of this problem of being out of your mind is by spiritual deliverance. You need spiritual deliverance because you can't navigate all the lies yourself. And it wasn't being really smart that delivered this fella. And if you are being manipulated by devils, you really do need some help.
Amen.
The Bible says they're taken captive by him at his will. They're taken captive by the devil at his will. How are you going to fix that? How are you going to defend yourself against that? I don't care how much truth you love. You can't fix yourself against that because the devil has power and he's deceiving you. You need Jesus.
Amen.
You need the spiritual deliverance that only Jesus can give. And if you're not looking for that spiritual deliverance to be able to understand God and to know God and to be close to God and so that your mind can be filtered and cleaned out and you get rid of the fog and all of a sudden you see clearly. And then once you see clearly, you sit there with Jesus, and you never want to leave Jesus. You say, Jesus, can I go with you? And he says, no, you got a job to do here. But he wanted to go with Jesus. And boy, I can't imagine anything else.
Yeah.
Somebody says, oh man, we got to go to church again. I have my little kid say that or so. We got to go to church again. I want to go to church.
Amen.
Why? Because I've got my mind cleared. I know what's important in life. I know what's valuable. You know the problem with this world? They're not in their right mind.
Amen.
You know who's got the solution to that? Jesus.
Amen.
He can clarify your mind. He can make this Bible come alive to you.
Amen.
He can make you think straight. He can make you even wise unto eternal life. Boy, he can clear up your mind. I think you need to seek Jesus with all your heart.
Amen.
Give him your life, and that'll be the first wise, logical, sane thing you've done in your life.
Amen.
Don't be out of your mind. Get into your right mind. Seek Jesus. Give your life to him and see if he don't just clear things up for you.
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for clearing things up for me, Lord. I wasn't smart enough to do it for myself, but you did it, Lord. You were merciful and stepped into my thinking and changed my life. I appreciate that. For someone here that doesn't know you, Lord, I ask you to clarify things for that person so that they would come to know you and have their mind cleared and know you forever. Lord, we know you're the source of all good things. And so we give you thanks. We ask you to bless us and our plans today. Bring us back tonight safe and with joy in our hearts. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Goodness.